Guys, it's so amazing to see what the Lord is doing in our midst. There's so many testimonies of God just being faithful in so many areas, in so many lives. And it's humbling to see that. It's something that as we draw closer to the person of Jesus, we realize how perfect he is, but how much he loves us. And he brings us into that place, which is just absolutely beautiful. And over this time, obviously over the last 3 weeks, we had amazing gifts that were sent to us. And man, they were gifts. Hey, so many miracles happened. People got healed of things. People got demonically delivered. There's so many good things that happened. And we're grateful for that. But through that time, the Lord said to me, Anton, speak to them about their identity. Speak to them about who I say they are. Who are we in Jesus? And I think often this is something that we sometimes drip. It's almost a topic that we don't always run towards, but it's the most important thing for us to understand who we are in the person of Jesus. And Satan knows that. So Satan's main goal is always to derail us. His goal is to distort our view of the Lord, to derail our faith. And he starts when we're young. Doesn't start when we're old. The problem is a lot of times when we're big and older, things pop up the whole time, and the reason is because you got hurt as a child, and we just never dealt with that. But now you're just acting as an adult, but still with hurt that you had from a very young age. And that's Satan's purpose. He doesn't want us to know who we are in the person of Jesus. He doesn't want us to realize that the Lord has called us. And I mean, a lot of us grew up in broken families. A lot of us went through tough things in life, rejection, even just in school. You know, there's things that might have been said to you when you were young, and what you've done is, what I've done is, a lot of those things I've taken on as my identity without knowing. It's obviously not the idea. Like if someone asked me, but do you believe you're the black sheep? No, never. But it's things spoken that I accepted and made my identity. The problem is if we never come to a place of dealing with that, Satan loves it because your identity will be found in something that's false, something that's not solid, something that's not rooted, not on a solid rock, but on soft soil. And that can be your business. That can be your achievements. It can be your mistakes in the past. I made that my identity. The person I was, I made that my identity. I became someone that God didn't design me to be because I felt acceptance in that through a weird, awkward way. It doesn't make sense. But that's how the enemy used it. And I grew up like that. So because of that, for years, I was an abuser because I knew I need to defend myself. There's something that happens, and Satan's very good at it. But only when we find our identity in the person of Jesus, we will really experience freedom. It's only in that place. So the problem is if we do not know our identity in the person of Jesus, the world will tell you what it is, and you'll believe it. The world will tell you your identity, and you'll take that as your identity. And Satan loves it. That's the enemy's goal. And it's scary. I want to read Matthew 16, verse 13 to 17. Now, listen to Jesus. How amazing is this? He said, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah, one of the other prophets. Then he asked them, but who do you say I am? So now Jesus is asking, who do you think I am? He's asking about his identity. And then Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now, yeah, how awesome is this? So Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. So Jesus said, Peter, what you just said is something that I already know, but other people don't know it. But I know what my Father said about me, and I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God. And then he went on, and based on this revelation that the Father gave you about me, I'm going to build my church. Solid identity in the Father. He recognized his identity. That's beautiful. Matthew 3:17 says, and a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. And Jesus knew his identity. How beautiful is that? Many years ago, Franschaik, he was 6 years old. We stayed in an estate called Welgevonden Estate in Stellenbosch. A lovely small duplex houses that's got no yard. You need to braai almost in your neighbor's yard in order to have a social. I'll never forget it. One of our neighbors also had kids. And they had a big get-together, and Franschaik ran over. So I ran over because I was like, I don't know the people. Let me just make sure. Well, I didn't know the visitors. So we got there. I introduced myself. Hello, hello, hello. Franschaik, 6 years old, said, hello, my name is Franschaik, and I am my father's son. And there was just this quietness. And the one lady said, wow, that was profound. But there was something beautiful in this six-year-old boy that knew he's daddy's boy. That was just, obviously I'll tell him that, but I mean, that just flowed from his mouth. How beautiful was that? Ultimately, God's heart with restoration is for us to walk into sonship. The problem is, and even in church, even in leaders, you get people leading churches that doesn't even realize that there's something else. The identity is not in Jesus. It's very easy. For many, many years, my identity was not in Jesus. But I led communities, led worship, did all those things, discipled people. Now, Jesus died for us. He paid the price so that we can come into sonship. And then Ephesians 4 verse 1 says, therefore, because of what is done, live a life worthy of your calling. Understand your calling. Understand that we've been called into an identity with the Lord. Can we watch that video? Is that video working, Gordy? Let's watch that video quickly. It's only an hour long. Don't worry, guys.
The world has a way of labeling people. Our enemy Satan is a roaring lion. He's on the prowl, convincing people his label is true and permanent. He seeks to defeat us either through shame at our label or pride in our label. But God provides for us a new identity. He calls us loved, forgiven, justified, accepted in Christ. He calls us by our names, and he calls us to himself. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid our sins in full. The redemption he offers is so much more than just erasing the sins of our past. It's also giving us a new identity, today and forever. Yes, Satan continues to battle. Christians and churches sometimes struggle. The courts and legislatures are attempting to redefine right and wrong. But the gospel changes lives. It is only the gospel that can change lives. The world and the devil may want to label us, but it is the Creator who gets to define and name His creation. You are not who the world says you are. You are who God says you are.
So the core of our faith is our identity in Jesus. We cannot do anything, well, we can do a lot that's not rooted in Jesus, but it's not sustainable. Satan wants to sustain it as far as possible because he knows somewhere you're going to fall hard. Which is scary. So we have to understand, what does God say about us as His children? What does God say about us? You know, Paul said that it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. You know, we all declare that, we all confess it. But the outworking of that looks a bit different sometimes. How many times have we seen people get saved? They say the right things, but there's no transformation in life. Do you guys remember the one time I spoke about the Roman soldiers, how they tortured the people and killed someone? So what they did is they took the body of the dead person and tied it to the killer. So the arms against the arms, the hands against the hands. The chest against the chest, and the legs against the legs. And then as that body decays and rottens, the things of that flesh, of the dying flesh, is starting to eat the person that's alive. Often that is what our faith looks like. We confess for the sake of salvation, but we do not really walk into what God has called us. You can only go so far with that. We have to understand that Jesus is the source of life. Jesus is the source of life. Satan doesn't want you to know that. I even struggle to preach now, which is weird, because I know Satan is against me. But man, it might be messy, but thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Spirit. Okay. And I know why. He doesn't want me to talk about this. But we will. Faith and obedience flows from a place of identity. If we want to step out in faith, we need to know what is our faith. Our faith is Jesus Christ crucified, setting me free from a life of bondage and sin. Because of His blood, in Him, there's fullness of joy, fullness of life. The Lord has taken us from a place of being an orphan into being a son and a daughter in His house. Which is beautiful. John 1:12 says, but to all who believed Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God. How beautiful is that? We are His children, He's our Father. Sorry. So the problem is, I grew up with the orphan spirit. I always felt that I don't belong. I was also the naughty one most of the time. So because of that, people did label me. because they must probably just spoke the truth. And then because of that, I took that on as my identity. So when I walked into a room, I already identified myself as the black sheep walking in. It became me. I became that person. So I'll never forget, we often went on holidays, but then we never saw the family on holidays. We'll go to Jeffreys Bay. It's a surfing town in the Eastern Cape. Beautiful. But then we'll disappear. We'll go camping, but no one see each other. You just go with your friends. So the one time I went on a holiday with another friend of mine. Now, his family was quite tight. They sat at the same table eating. There was just this sense of, but now you have to understand, I'm not part of the family. I was the friend invited to this thing. I barely knew the people there. So I thought, okay, I want to be a part of this family, so I'm going to really try my best. Come to us. In the Eastern Cape is where we camp. Beautiful. And then, as we got there, the parents started setting up the tents, and the kids decided, we decided, let's go and play cricket. His cousins just came from Joburg. They saw each other there again for the first time in like 4 years. Okay, I am the only one there that's not part of the family. So now I'm trying to be part of the family. And I'm like, yeah, let's play cricket. It's going to be fun. We're going to get to know each other. The girl throws the ball. The first ball. I bet I hit the ball into her nose. Quah! She lost the tooth, and there was blood, and the nose were bleeding, and everyone looked at me. Again. Come on, man. I became that person, and then I just kept on believing that I'm that person. It became my identity. So you know what the enemy does then? Then you start lacking in faith. Because you don't trust that the Lord will also love you. Because you're not lovable. You see how easy it is from a young age. You're not lovable. You are the problem. So what happens is, I start building walls to protect myself. No one can come in. I'm defending the whole time. Because I'm the black sheep. Satan loves him. Yes. Because Satan knew God had a plan with my life. He knew it. Ephesians 1 verse 4 to 5 says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Doesn't make sense. Upside down kingdom. Before the world, he loved us and chose us. He decided in advance to adopt us. He loves us. He loves us so much. His eternal plan has always been for us to belong to him. Our internal need is to belong to something. Satan knows that. So he gives you all the other things to find pleasure in. I want to skip some because I can go on for very long on this. So, according to the word of God, confirmed by the blood of Jesus, now teaching us through the outworking of the Holy Spirit, each one of us here are dearly loved. Dearly loved. Dearly loved. Romans 8 verse 38 to 39. This is so beautiful. This is something that I didn't believe. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Man, he called us, eh? Huh? Nothing. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing. Nothing. I am forgiven. My past is washed away. The word says that it's as far as the east is from the west. I wonder if anyone ever tried to measure that. Just keep on going. They're still busy. I'm accepted. I'm secure in the person of Jesus. And I'm called and I'm chosen by Him. I know that now. But I didn't always know it. And it took quite a lot before I got there. And I'm still learning. The Lord's still shining His light in certain areas that I need to lay down. Anton, that thing. Be careful of that. He uses my wife a lot. Thank you, Bookie. It's amazing. So the thing is, that is our identity in Jesus Christ. We are actually sitting. We have sitting in the next to the Father in Jesus. We are pulled close now. Okay, you're my boy. That is our position. I'm a son in the house. Only if I remain in Jesus. We can choose to be cut off. That's scary, eh? Because there's a gospel going around saying that you once saved, don't worry, grace is enough. It's sufficient. God hates it when we tolerate sin. It's actually spoken against one of the churches in the book of Revelations. You've done everything right, you're so faithful, you're pressing on. But this one thing I have against you is the fact that you tolerate sin amongst you. And I will come down with a sword. So sometimes we accept the truth because of salvation, but we don't always walk it out. So what does it look like when our identity is not in Jesus? We find our identity in performance, in our achievements. So the more you achieve, the more people recognize you. And the more you find your identity in that. I struggle with that. When I did sport and I got provincial clothes, hey, all of a sudden I'm chosen, eh? And now I'm doing very well. And then I was pushed into a corner and because of my rebellious spirit, I moved away. I left it. I was like, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. Then we played in bands and we went and we did music videos and people will take photos of you. When they still use cameras and not phones. That became my identity. Some find their identity in their positions. Possessions. It almost finished, guys. I spoke this whole week English. So, with your new car, some people find identity in what they own. That makes them feel important. Lord help me. Please. I need you. Thank you, Jesus. My identity is not in my ability to speak English. Popularity. Thank you. Stop it. Your identity can be who you were in the past. So because of my differences with people, you know what happened? I really tried not to testify too much about it anymore. Because I still found my identity in it. Because I was known for that. So now I find my identity in this thing, and I would testify, but actually I'm bragging. I thought it was cool. Now if I think of it, why did you speak about it in front of people? But there's that thing. And you know what Satan does? I'll quickly tell you a short story. In Sunnydale congregation, we had quite, in Cape Town, they actually started attacking churches, the guys. So now, we had men sitting by each door within the congregation. There was doors on the side. I didn't sit there. Because that would be my identity. They would always joke and say, I'm the bouncer in the church. And then it's like, yeah. Nee? So one day a guy came into the church and he was on drugs and very aggressive. This is how Satan works. I stayed away from it. But this oak was so violent, so he threw guys around and stumped them and went to the ladies. And then eventually I was like, okay, but now it's a threat to my kids. So I ran up to the guy. I took him, grabbed him quite forcefully, and I threw him out of the church. And I turned around, the whole church is looking at me. For a moment, that actually hurt me. Because I was like, Lord, why do you put me here? And then he said, you are free. But man, I wanted to punch that guy so hard. We find often our identity in our pains and our struggles. We become the victim. And we become, thank you, Malifi, and we become that person. Have you often spoken to someone that speaks more about their struggles and their trauma of their past than they speak about the person of Jesus and what he's done for them? It's because we find our identity in that. The enemy loves it. You are that person. What's going to happen next? You almost expect the next thing to happen. We were there. For many years, I mean, you lock every door behind you. You out of the toilet, you lock the toilet even behind you. Everything's locked all the time. It's because I expect the next thing to happen. That becomes your identity. You know how scary, how good the devil is? He uses this, what we're doing here, to make church and ministry your identity. Your gifting, your identity. So what happens? We start relying on the gift. Because the gift is irrevocable. Okay? Well, that was out of my head. And because of that, you start ministering in your gift. Because the grace is on the gift. But your identity is not in Jesus. So people start recognizing your gift and they start coming to you. And here's the man of God. Oh, woe to that one. Standing before him one day. The only one worthy to be elevated in this place is Jesus. We are all falling short of the glory of God. How many were prophesied over? Now, in the last couple of weeks, you were prophesied over, even in the past. How many guys were prophesied over before? You know how dangerous it is if your identity is not in Jesus Christ and you're being prophesied over. You know why? You'll worship the prophecy and not him. I did it. Full-time ministry over my life. Man, I waited. 15 years later. God wanted to make sure, Anton, I don't want you to make this thing your identity. So you know what God did? He took everything away. Alles. And then I was upset. Because I said, sorry guys, I said, why did you ever give me that prophecy, Lord? Because this thing is making me stumble. But if I was in a place of knowing my identity in Jesus, how beautiful is it? The thoughts you have of me, Lord. How beautiful is that thing? So even last week, over the weekend, there was a moment when Nadine actually addressed the religious spirit. Do you guys remember? I felt the presence of the Lord. You know how dangerous it is when we religiously do things and not by being led by the Spirit. I'll tell you why. It was the religious leaders who crucified Jesus. It was not the sinners. He went to the cross because of us. All. But it was those who did the acts. They ticked all the boxes. And then we think, okay, I need to do this next and this next to become a community leader. I need to do this next and this next. And you become that person thinking that you are growing in Jesus, but you're missing the very person standing in front of you, nailing him to the cross again. And then we say this is Christianity. That's scary, guys. And the spirit of the religion was addressed in this church. I was like, Lord, are we missing it? Like, should we stop everything? And just focus on you, Jesus. We need to be careful. The spirit of religion cuts off the person of Jesus from the church. It cuts off the leading of the Holy Spirit from the church. And you know what's scary? You think you're doing the right thing. 5 out of the 7 churches in the book of Revelation missed it. 5 out of the 7. For those who can do maths, percentage, effectively. Okay. So I want to ask you, how much does life rattle you when the carpet gets pulled out among the river? That was close. When life throws a curveball, how much are you shaken? When life hits you, how much are you shaken? I'm speaking to myself here. Because I'm telling you, if you lose your job and your life is falling away from yourself, your identity is not in Jesus. It's a hard word, guys. But it's the truth that sets us free. If you fight for approval of man, oh, ministry is not the game for you, my friend. Because man, you will be hated. Man, you will be hated. It's okay. I mean, the amount of things that's been said of me in less than a year. I don't know how long the Lord wants us to be here. But man, I just said, like, Jesus, thank you that they said it to you as well. I love you, Lord. Let's move on. Because when you do not follow man, but you follow God, offense stirs up. And do not do it my way. They're doing this and that, that you see it. Man will follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. God is building his church, not man. God can remove me tomorrow here. Then his church should keep on building. We cannot build the church around a person. Because of that, we cannot do what man approves. I can't accept if someone just say to me, you know how many preachers I prepared and people will tell me before I preach it, don't preach that here. Don't do that to Marondera. It's dangerous. People's going to leave. But what if God told me to preach it? No. Maybe go with the other angle. Maybe just pray about it. But God has said, do this, Anton. And if I fear man, I will not follow him. Pete, when you go to Harare and people tell you what to do, you need to be careful. I'm not saying people cannot speak into your life, Pete. If you just bring balance there, okay? But if God tells you to do something, obey. Joshua taking the land. The spy comes back. Oh no, you see our giants. Joshua's like, let's kill them. Let's fight the giants. Faith will be taken with violence. I'm spitting everywhere. Within that, guys, I just want to bring clarity. We are just human beings in ministry. We are just human beings. I can mess it. That's why we have guys constantly checking and lining us up. But what I am saying is God tells you to step out in faith. And everyone tries to stop you, but it's something the Lord has said. It's been submitted. It's been said. Everything that I preach that people said I shouldn't preach, I submitted to my leaders. Everything. Guys, what should I do? God said I must preach. But the people in Marondera said I shouldn't. Oh, Anton, you should obey, my friend. And man, look at what the Lord has done. Not because of me, guys, but because we seek Jesus and not people's approval. If we find our identity in what people say about us, it's a very difficult life to have, eh? It's seriously a very, 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 very tough life to have. Because you want to please each and every person and miss him. You do everything right except this one thing. You have forgotten about your first love. Tick all the boxes. Where's Jesus? I would often, and I want to encourage the Harare group, make sure his presence is above the duties. Make sure his presence is above the duties. Rather be a Mary. Sit at the feet of Jesus. It's messy and it's ugly and everyone complains. Than to try to tick boxes to make it look perfect. Church is not perfect. Instead, it's very messy. If we find our confidence, our comfort, our security, all of those things, in everything except Jesus, it's a problem. That is a problem. And often God will take you through a journey to teach you. I've called you my son. I've called you my daughter. But I need you to die to this area because that thing will not satisfy you. And because of past that we don't deal with always, because it's difficult, because people mess up, we stay in that place and we actually miss the person of Jesus. Now, how do we shift our identity to having the identity of Jesus Christ, rooted in Jesus? We need to repent of false identities. We need to repent of high places. Have you guys heard the last 3-4 days we spoke a lot about high places? Know what's high places? It's where we have idols in our life. That's more important than Jesus. High places. If we tend to lean more towards that thing than the person of Jesus, it's a high place. It's a what do you call a afgod? So we need to come to a place where we do introspection and see, Lord, is my identity really in you? Because I'm telling you, the life and the joy and the peace that surpasses all understanding when we just rely on the person of Jesus. Oh my hat, You know, in Cape Town, when we lost everything, there was a very, very tough time. There was really a very tough time because I needed to provide for my family and I couldn't. Other men didn't. And I just worked hard. Man, it was very humbling. It was really tough. And you know how quickly the Lord stripped me of all those false identities? Humility. Humility. The Lord stripped me of all those things up until a point where I had nothing left except my family. And then it felt like the Lord said, okay, now we can work. And as I started surrendering that, you know, my desire for 15 years to go full-time ministry, when the offer came, I didn't even touch it. I gave it to the elders. It wasn't my identity anymore. When Marnie contacted me, the first thing I did was contacting my elders. How is that? That is what we should do. Because it wasn't my identity anymore. My identity is Jesus. Lord, wherever you use me, I'm going to work for you. I'm going to do what you call me to. But the Lord had to take me through the journey to die to self. To come to a place where, Lord, I'm only satisfied in you. I'm only satisfied in you, Lord. That's the only place we can find peace. You're going to try to work so hard to find it. Trying to be a son. In other things than the Father. I just want to rush through. I don't know how long I'm going. Another way to take on the identity of Christ is to study the Word. Study God. Study Him. You know, the Holy Spirit is a helper and a teacher. He teaches us. When I read the Word, even if I've read it, same scripture 100 times, I'm still, Lord, teach me. Lord, impart this into my life. And then through that, we actually renew our mind. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that we may prove His good, acceptable, and perfect will. Tom, when he was here, he actually felt with a prophetic that some people only rely on second-hand encounters. Sometimes our faith is like that. We only grow through other people's growth. I was like that for a long time. Because I was between a lot of leaders, I would grow because they grow. And they give input. But I didn't grow with the person of Jesus. And sometimes we're satisfied with the second-hand encounters because we haven't tasted Him yet. One-on-one, intimate. There's a beauty in that. And then John 15, verse 4 to 5 says, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. You cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. So simple, but sure. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. And then he says this, for apart from me, you can do nothing. I want to stop there. Let's close our eyes, guys. I want us to do introspection. This is not a one-time, quickly, let's fix it thing. But if you are sitting here and you realize that your identity is not in the person of Jesus, there are other high places, other idols in my life that I'm holding on for security and comfort and joy and peace and all of that. I want us to respond this morning to the Lord and repent of that. I want us to come to a place where we lay down the false identities. The careers, the achievements, the failures, the trauma. And give it to the Lord. Say, Lord, I want you to be my identity, Jesus. It's no longer I that lives, Lord, but you that lives in and through me. Lord, I want a life fully surrendered to you and not to my work. Not to my titles. Not to money. But to you, Lord. I want to, every eye is closed. I want to encourage you, if you feel there is a call in your life, to stand up.
During worship, I had this vision of people standing with chains in their hand. I didn't know about this reality, this mission. I really feel that's where we are. I think, you know, those chains around you, those cursed identities that we have.